There were days where we thought we wouldn't make it out, but we stuck it out. Today's our day. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Paula.
And come with us as we explore Singapore. We talk to a little known charity that champions women from all walks of life, a charity whose shared mission is to empower communities through sustainable fashion initiatives. Join us as we uncover their inspiring journey and impact on helping women feel good about themselves as they return to the workforce. We have Philo, Executive Director of Image Mission, and Anya, an expat lead volunteer, who will tell us about Image Mission and all their endeavours. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you on today because it's such a huge topic that of interest, not just interest, but an important topic that we feel like we need to discuss, right? And lead up to International Women's Day. Can you share the inspiration behind the Image Mission?
Well, Image Mission was started with the intention to help disadvantaged women in Singapore, because we believe that amidst all our skyscrapers and all that, a lot of people don't even feel that there are people who are disadvantaged in Singapore. We look rich and all that on the outside. And we truly believe that giving a woman economic independence does a lot for the economy.
Mm.
And like it or not, a woman impacts her community, impacts her family greatly. And we saw the need for, you know, we saw a pool of women who need the help to get back to the workforce because they face multiple challenges.
Mm.
So that was how Image Mission came about. And essentially, we are about providing the right resources and tools to help these women get back to work. And we are the only charity, I believe, in Singapore that offers styling services to women to give them that confidence. Even if they're not going back to the workforce, right? You know, seeing that transformation. And that becomes that foundation for a lot of things that is, you know, ahead of them. It gives them the motivation to start looking for work. So that is what we strongly believe in.
When did it start?
It started in 2015. It was founded by a lady called Lee Kin. And Lee Kin was not in this area at all, not in social service and all. Her background was in research. But she kind of retired and she felt that she wanted to give back to the community, as with a lot of us, volunteers and all alike. You know, we leave our corporate jobs and we realize that, well, there's no more excuse, no time and all that kind of thing to want to give back to the community. And that's how she started Image Mission in March of 2015. We are IPC registered, which means that donors are able to get tax exemptions for their donations to us. Yeah, it's quite a big thing in Singapore. People tend to want to donate to IPC registered charities because it kind of just gives them some peace of mind. And it's added motivation in a way, because you do get some tax relief for your donations. So that was kind of how it started. And I remember Lee Kin telling me that she started with only one rack of clothes.
Wow.
And like two or three women who would go for their styling and all. And well, 2015, I guess 7-8 years down the road, we've served about 1,100 women since 2015.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yes.
That's really good.
And considering we are a really small charity, we don't have like, we have no staff. Mm. Lee Kin started with zero staff. We only had our first part-time staff in 2017 or 2018.
That's a long time to go without any.
Yes.
Staff,
and I joined in 2020. Until today, we only have two staff. Wow. Both of us are part-time.
Yeah.
So we rely heavily on volunteers to deliver our programs and services.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you find the women who need your services?
Well, they are referred to us mm-hmm. by other social service agencies in Singapore. We call them our community partners. So they're the likes of, I'm not sure if you or your audience have heard of Daughters of Tomorrow, the YWCA. And in Singapore, we have family service centres mm-hmm. all across the island. Generally, family service centres serve the people in the community, in that area. They provide financial resources, financial aid, or any sort of help mm-hmm. that the residents in that vicinity requires. Mm-hmm. So if a social worker were to come across a woman mm-hmm. and he or she feels that, oh, she's ready to look for a job or she could do better if she had a job, they would then refer them to us.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, we kind of do walk-ins. So if someone were to come across our website, for example, and they feel that, you know, they would benefit from the services that we offer, mm-hmm. they can contact us. But we'll do a sort of a simple means test because, you know, we do want to serve the disadvantaged
yeah.
or the needy. Someone who's able to afford the kind of services that we mm-hmm. offer, then those are not our yeah. target audience. But then again, I want to qualify that disadvantaged or needy does not mean poor.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people tend to feel that, oh, disadvantaged or needy means you got to show up like looking yeah. sad and distraught and yeah. poor and, you know, but that's not the case. So mm. you could be disadvantaged due to various reasons.
Yeah.
It could be due to illness. It could be due to family circumstances. And of course, you know, if it's due to financial reasons and all that kind of thing. Yeah. So we do a simple means test to yep. qualify these clients before we take them in. And then we assess what kind of needs they have and what kind of services would be best suited for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your volunteers, Anya, how did you get involved with it?
I got involved actually through a friend of mine.
Yeah.
because before I moved here, I was working in wholesale retail and I worked as a stylist and a store manager. And I've always been interested in fashion and styling. And then she said, well, there might be some volunteer organization. It's called Dress for Success or something.
Yeah.
And that's how I started Googling and I found Image Mission, who runs the Dress for Success program. And that's when I got in touch with them and sort of got into an interview. And then they said, yeah, you can start here.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that for over 4.5 years now.
Wow.
Yes, and I started as a stylist and now I'm a volunteer lead and I also help to run the boutique that we have at the office.
Yeah.
And we provide a professional attire for our clients.
Yeah.
So we have a sort of boutique that we use mm-hmm. As stylists where we can pick the outfits from that our clients can try and they can also keep their attire when they go for a job interview or even when they found a job, they can come back to us and we mm-hmm. will do an employment styling session and help them get enough attire to get through a work week.
Oh, wow.
So, but we depend on donations mm-hmm. from partners or from private people who want to donate to us. So yep. we also screen that because we really need clothes that are suitable for professional environment.
Yeah.
So it's not that we can use, just nice flower dresses
yeah.
or shorts
yeah.
or, yeah, it needs to be work wear that people want to wear when they go for first-time job interview.
Yeah.
And yeah, so keep that in mind if you want to help us and want to donate something.
And how can I donate if I was to If I had a bag full of clothes that I thought would be...
The shortest way is to contact our office mm-hmm. and make an appointment to drop it off.
Yeah.
We might ask you some questions before you come because of what I said before. We want to make sure that it's proper workwear attire.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people just drop things at our place that we really can't use.
Yeah.
And it's well meant maybe, yeah. but yeah.
Yeah. Not appropriate.
I have so much to say about that. Yeah. That kind of stuff that yeah. people donate to us. It's yeah. amazing. And yeah, so to add on to what Anya has said, you can go to our website. There is a donation page. And mm-hmm. typically we will put there whether we are open or closed for clothing mm-hmm. donations. There's a phone number. You can contact us there. And we will usually ask you for some photos of the, you know, some of the items that you intend to donate.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to waste your time
exactly.
or bring it down and then we say, because it's very subjective, right? What's workwear for you might not be workwear for our clients.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we just want to get some idea of what kind of clothes you have.
Is it mainly like traditional suits and perhaps...
Not necessarily suits.
No, yeah. not like, only suits.
Like
but,
a formal shift or like a...
More conservative stuff, I would say,
because
a big percentage of our clients are Muslims.
Mm.
So
okay,
they prefer like sleeveless and all that. Not so. We do take some of them, but... Not, we don't take a lot because even for some of our Chinese clients, they tend to prefer to be more conservative. And anyways, when our clients want to go for interviews, that's what we as stylists kind of advise them.
Yeah.
More is kind of better than less. And
afterwards,
once you are employed, you can kind of have a feel of the company culture. And if it allows for sleeveless and jeans for that matter, then you kind of adjust your outfit according to the company culture. But for a start, if you want to make a good first impression, more is kind of better.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be suits, but we try to ask for like long pants,
like
long sleeves, more neutral colors, not loud printed stuff, not
neon
too bright.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we typically say donate only what you yourself would wear.
To a job
interview, not to the beach.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that sort of sums
it
up.
We've had bikinis.
I was going to ask you that.
We've had bikinis in the bags that come and then they sneak it under the bag, you know. And then like,
Why is that? Is it hard to get rid of clothes here? Is that the problem?
So usually we get tons of requests for donations to donate clothes to us at the end of the year. So no prizes for guessing why, right?
Because
you're decluttering,
housing,
spring cleaning and all that. So typically I don't open for clothing donations during that period of time. But then again, it also depends on the inventory we have in the office.
Of course,
Anya kind of keeps check of what we have and whether they're empty boxes waiting to be filled and all. And then, you know, I'll kind of work with Anya and say, hey, we have some, you know, interest for donations. Mm. Can we take some more? If she says, take, then we will go through that process of kind of filtering the clothes and all that kind of thing. And then we will kind of accept them.
And
so
it's also good to mention that we also, besides private people who like to donate, we also have a few professional partners that sometimes donate clothes to us.
Okay.
And that's also really nice because you can give brand new things to clients.
That's nice.
So that is something extra. And but also with those partners, we discuss what we can
and what we
can't take.
Yeah.
Because space is also an issue. I mean,
yes.
We have a very small, I mean, although boutique sounds.
Yeah.
But it's
we
really
try our best to make
a boutique,
nice
a meeting
and
room, an office, everything in one.
Yeah.
So space is also, you know, a constraint for us. So we try to be careful with what we accept. And also, if any of your listeners are, you know, boutique owners and all that, and if you have excess kind of stock, that you want to donate, and if, you know,
if it's appropriate,
we are happy to accept them as well.
And what would be even more perfect, what we like to do is make a complete set and also add accessories like shoes and work bag.
Okay, yeah.
And especially shoes and work bags are really hard to come by in a good condition.
Okay.
And also to find partners. We had partners in the past who did some donations to us that were really good. But we are
open to that.
Definitely.
That's good.
And just a note with the clothes, right? Typically, we will ask donors if they're okay, we sell them. Because 3 or 4 times a year, we do have kind of like a boutique sale that we run in the office.
Okay.
And that's our way of fundraising. All proceeds will come back to the charity to help us run the programs.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes we do take maybe some high value items that are not necessarily work appropriate. They could be a bit more casual. And then we keep them for occasions such as that where we can sell them.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just, so if you have things that aren't necessarily for an office, then maybe you can hold them back and you're not throwing them into landfills. You're actually doing something good with them. I think that's pretty,
Nice. Yeah, it's very good. How do these programs help the client's journey with job interviews and employment and beyond? How do you, you know,
help them,
after they've got a job?
We give them all the kind of tools and resources that they might need to get an interview first. And if everything goes well, she lands the job. She continues to be part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we often organize workshops and programs that are not necessarily related to job search or job readiness types of topics. So we've done things like money management.
We've
got a sewing class. We've got sewing workshops. We've even got like jewelry making and workshops and all of that. So our volunteers are very talented. So some of them are delivered by our volunteers. Some are with corporate partners. So for example, if a corporate partner is in a business, it's a financial institution, for example, then they might come in and help us do a money management kind of a workshop. So this is our way of keeping even clients who have been employed engaged, so that they know we are there, and there's always that fallback if they should, you know, I hope it doesn't happen, but if they should leave their jobs or lose their jobs, we are top of mind for them, and they know that they can come back
good to know. I mean, sometimes you've get into a job and you think it's right, but maybe the culture's wrong or something like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's,
So we also have a mentorship program.
Yeah.
So we give the clients the choice. So once they land the job, because some of them, in fact, a lot of them have not worked for a long time. So, you know, getting used to that office environment, the organizational culture and everything, take some getting used to. And some of them don't even know how to kind of get themselves back there again. So we offer a mentorship program that kind of covers that, you know, takes you through 3 to 6 months. And you meet as often as you feel you need to with your mentor. And the mentor will go through things right down from like personal branding to well-being and how to communicate with your boss and things like that. So we don't want to throw the client right into the deep end of the pool, but we want to be there. So we do support, offer that kind of support for them as well.
Yeah, it's imperative. I think I can think of a few jobs where I could have done that. You know, just
it's scary, right?
It is very scary.
And you walk into, everybody knows what they're doing, and you're sitting there going, I'm not really sure what I should be doing right now. And it can be quite intimidating. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know I used to work for long-term unemployed in Sydney many, many years ago. So people would come in who had been 5 to 10 years unemployed due to numerous reasons, and they were women, whether it was they had children and it's time to go back in the workforce and then they need the support. So we were not as – we didn't have that extra support that you're offering. We once they've gone on to the workforce and then they've – which I wish we had of, because that's amazing that you can help them, follow them on the journey. We were only there to provide them with the to help them with the job, to get the job, and then they're on their own. So I think this support is great.
And that can lead to failure, you know, like potentially, you need those training wheels to sort of support you through at least the first 6 months, because it's just, it's it's hard.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. Yeah,
and sometimes it is through like these fun programs and workshops that we ourselves get reconnected with these clients. And from there we realize that, oh, she's lost her job, you know. So she might need help again. Then that's when we kind of reconnect again. That gives us the opportunity, because it's not like day to day that we can you know, be in touch with every single client out there. So those are kind of really good platforms for us to get re-engaged with our clients as well.
And when you were saying before about the clothes, do they get to keep the clothes?
Yes.
Okay, that's nice.
Yes. And maybe it's good to tell that we also run a program that's called I Am Ready. So when they come to us and they are at the start of the search of a job or at the start of starting a new phase in their life, then we offer them, for example, our I Am Ready program. And I think Philo can tell even better, but it's a program where we try to support them and help them get ready for this job search.
Okay.
Because you're, usually they are not, because they haven't worked for a while, they are not ready to go to that job interview because they are insecure or they don't know how to present themselves anymore because they haven't applied for a job for many years. And
even that process itself.
Yes, exactly. So we also try to help them with that. And we also have volunteers. I don't do that, but one of my colleagues does, or several of my colleagues help them, for example, how to build a LinkedIn profile, how to write a application letter, and all those these kind of things.
That's nice.
But maybe Philo can add a little bit
so
more
I
to the specific
am-
program.
I Am Ready. I Am stands for image mission.
Okay.
So we can't leave.
Play on the words. I like that.
So it's I Am Ready. So I'm ready. Okay. So a client comes to us at different phases of their job search, for example. So we do the regular day-to-day one-to-one kind of coaching, and that's part of the Dress for Success program. But if a client comes and for sure we know that she's right kind of at the start of her job search journey, I'm Ready is a more structured program. It could span anything from 4 weeks to like 3 to 6 months. So it typically starts with a competency assessment, because we want to assess the skills, strengths and competencies, and then be able to recommend what kinds of jobs that, you know, she could think about or she could look into. Because like you said, right, a lot of them have not worked for a long time. They don't even know what kind of jobs are there out there. And the job that they used to do 5 years ago, 10 years ago, might not be relevant today anymore. So a lot of our clients come to us, what kind of jobs are you looking at? Admin. I'm like, there aren't very many administrative jobs these days. A manager would do everything from admin to whatever, you know. So how about you explore certain types of jobs? And the competency assessment is, to me, right, the whole entire program, if she misses the rest, I think the competency is the most important takeaway. Because also a lot of them come to us and say, I don't have any competencies because I'm a stay-home mom. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah, you probably managed.
Try getting someone to be a stay-at-home mom. I can't. Yeah. Like, I'll go crazy. I think it's worse, right?
Yeah.
So I know that you can't have no competency. So when they do the assessment and then they realize, then a coach will sit down with them and go through, like, you have these strengths and these strengths can be translated into tradable strengths.
Yeah.
People will pay you for these strengths. Yeah. You know, so I think that part is most important. And then for the next few weeks, she will go through the usual career coaching stuff, like how to write a resume, how to write an application letter, and interview skills, what to say, what not to say at an interview. And then it ends off with a styling session.
Nice.
So that's that whole program.
Oh, that's fantastic. So good. I want to do that. I want to go back to So can you share a success story?
Wow. We have a few. Well, a typical success story would be when a woman gets employed. So we have this client who was unemployed, and she had a lot of family issues and all that. She stayed in a one-room rental flat with her husband and two children. But after our programs and all, she got a part-time job. She can't really do full-time because, that's the other challenge that our clients face, right? When you can't afford extra help to look after your children, it means you can't work full time.
But she was, 22.
So she was motivated enough to say, it doesn't matter, I'll look for part time work. Until today, she's still in the part time work. She's a medical escort, so she helps patients get from point A to point B. So if patients need to go for a checkup at the hospital, she will go with the transportation, and then she'll go to the home, help them, put them on the wheelchair, get them to the hospital, accompany them for their appointments, and then take them back. So that gives her some flexibility in the work that she does. And it's not like a full day kind of job. In fact, it's kind of ad hoc. So when she's called upon, then she goes. Yeah. And since then, she has moved from a one-room flat to a two-room flat.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it gives her and her family a bit more space.
Privacy. Yeah.
Do you have anyone that has gone through and then come back and worked for you?
Actually, funny you ask. I just interviewed one. I was late because I was interviewing a client for a job.
Oh, wow.
For us.
That's so fantastic. Nice.
So I'm looking for a full-time staff at the moment. Mm-hmm. And somehow, I mean, we're a charity.
Yeah.
I can't afford to pay what an MNC out there would be paying, right? Yeah. And you need to find someone with a passion, with a heart to want to serve others. So I've been looking for 6 months.
Yeah. Wow.
And I couldn't. And one day I was just thinking, I'm like, this is crazy. I have so many clients looking for jobs. Why am I going out there looking for someone? But the thing is, I also understand some of the challenges our clients have. They can't take a full-time job, like I mentioned. And in terms of skills and all that, they might not have the necessary ones. So, I kind of shortlisted two of them. And both were great candidates. And again, the other one kind of said that, no, she prefers a part-time position. But the one that I just met before this session is willing to do a full-time.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know her as well.
That's a full circle.
Yes. And she came to us because she was looking for a job because she had some health issues.
Yeah.
So she used to be she's a professional. She's a PMET and she was forced to stop work, and Yeah, and you know, when you are at a certain level and when you want to take a step down, somehow employers don't quite
understand
or dare to employ you because they feel like you were too in that
senior.
Certain
yeah.
too
yeah.
senior. But you know, she keeps saying like, I keep telling them it's okay, you know, yeah, I'll take two steps down, you know, you don't have to pay me what you know, what I used to draw before, but I just want to feel useful, I want to work.
Yeah.
But she's been looking for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she doesn't want the stress.
Yeah.
Right, she's been looking for 6 months as well.
Wow. Meant to be.
So I'm like, okay. It's funny, I was her coach when I was volunteering for Image Mission.
That's so nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's funny, right? And it helps because I know her so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so
skills.
Fingers crossed that, you know, everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
And
oh, no, that's fantastic. That's a really good, that's a good feel good story right there. How can we help spread the word or raise money for you?
Well, the most immediate way would be we have an International Women's Day fundraising campaign. So this is an annual campaign because obviously we want to leverage on International Women's Day and donors can go to giving.sg to donate, but we will have most of that information and how you can do so on our Instagram page at Dress for Success Singapore or on Facebook at Image Mission.
We will link all of your details in the show notes.
So donating to a campaign is the best possible way because for all our campaigns, we apply for the government's matching grant as well. So for every dollar that you donate, the government gives us another dollar.
Oh, that's
really
good.
So you're doubling
your
donation.
Yeah.
No,
and when does this start?
That's great.
It will start sometime middle of February and it will go through right to the end of March, which is the 31st of March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, during this period of time, every dollar you donate. Will be doubled.
Help. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's great. That's fantastic.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And what other initiatives that you have?
We just have to keep thinking of creative ways to, you know, get our donations in and all, because that's what we rely on.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what if, are you also looking for volunteers or?
At the moment, we do have quite a number of volunteers, but you can always sign up on our website once again.
Mm-hmm.
And once you sign up, as and when, then you'll go into our database.
Mm-hmm.
As and when we need volunteers, we will typically email everyone to get them to sign up for a particular event or to help us for a particular program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, of course, there will be some orientation. And especially if you're joining us as a stylist or as a career coach, there will be some orientation that is necessary. Because especially like for Anya, a stylist like Anya, right, you need to have some background and technical knowledge, you know. I mean, I always say being able to dress yourself doesn't mean you can dress someone
absolutely
else. Yeah, because you need to have some technical knowledge as well, body shapes and color recognition and things like that.
Yeah.
So you can always sign up. But we have a lot of positions, so to speak, available. Even if it's not as a career coach or as a stylist, you could help us behind the scenes with some marketing, photography, event management, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good to know.
Yeah.
So I think our listeners will be interested maybe if something comes up in the future for your events, even just one-off times, that would be great.
Yeah. And if your listeners are, you know, women, you know, or whoever in a corporate company and all, and if they want to be our corporate partners, we welcome that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have corporate partners who partner with us to deliver workshops.
Okay.
Yeah, to be guest speakers at our event.
Okay.
Or To help us raise funds.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have the IWD campaign coming up.
Yeah.
They could simply help us amplify the campaign amongst their colleagues and, you know, in the office.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That
would be for International Women's Day. And so, we'll definitely put that link in the show notes.
We have campaigns throughout the year.
Yeah.
So even if you miss International Women's Day,
keep looking. Keep looking. But you have been awesome today. Thank you so much for coming along. We really appreciate not only your time, but your valuable information about such a great course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So thank you for having us.
Yeah,
thank
you. It's so important. Yeah, it's great.
We can also be found on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. This will ensure that you don't miss any upcoming episodes. If you've enjoyed listening, then we would love for you to leave a review. It helps other people find this podcast easier. It's a small action that goes a long way, so please keep listening, reviewing, and supporting the Truly Expat Podcast, as we truly appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.